SIU Reviews is a listener-supported service of WSIU Radio. Your financial support is what makes this program possible. Donate online at WSIU.org.
Based on a 2008 novel by Matthew Quick, in which the mentally ill central character Pat believes his life is a movie directed by God, the new film Silver Linings Playbook foregrounds 20th century American literature. The premise invokes The Catcher in the Rye, in which Holden Caulfield relates his hatred of phonies from the confines of a mental institution. J.D. Salinger gets one-upped by Silver Linings Playbook, a film full of its share of phonies, not the least of whom are the filmmakers. At the beginning of the film, Pat, played by Bradley Cooper, relates to his friend's sister-in-law, Tiffany, Jennifer Lawrence, how he came to be relegated to a mental hospital. Coming home from his job as a history teacher, he found his wife, an English teacher, in the shower with another man. He beat the adulterer near to death. Now, to atone for his violent past, the newly released Pat decides to read the books on his wife's literature syllabus. He naively believes his romantic gesture will win her back. On his first night home, Pat reads A Farewell to Arms in one sitting, finally finishing in the middle of the night. Pat hurls the book out his window, shattering the glass and waking up his distraught parents. Pat interprets the bleak ending, the stillbirth of a baby and the subsequent death of the heroine, as foreboding the end of his marriage. Instead, Pat demands that the philosophy of optimism he learned in the hospital, Excelsior, be matched by the novels he reads. Not only is Hemingway's pessimism comically exercised, but Ken Casey's anti-authoritarian One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and many other great novels. For all of mega-producer Harvey Weinstein's and director David O. Russell's pretensions to be making independent cinema, their work remains committed to bland, crowd-pleasing romantic comedy. Later in the film, Tiffany excoriates another novel, The Lord of the Flies. Because Pat is supposed to be practicing a dance routine with her, she too throws the book out of her house, delivering a blistering critique of William Golding's masterpiece. She explains that the novel concerns only boys behaving reprehensibly on a desert island. So what gives with all this tossing of novels, literally and symbolically, especially in a film named after a book? Alas, nothing good. The book of the film's title merely reinforces its anti-intellectualism. Despite Tiffany's rejection of her fellow Americans' fascination with football, she turns out to be the worst of the bunch. When the football playbook of the film's title never materializes, a guide to the plays which will lead to a non-Hemingway ending for Pat, Tiffany takes it upon herself to read the signs anew, endearing herself to Pat's father, played by Robert De Niro, explaining that her close contact with his son is in fact not destroying their beloved Philadelphia Eagles' success in the 2008 football season, but instead is a good luck charm. Indeed, Tiffany is the film's most important author, having forged a letter from Pat's wife in an attempt to convince him to move on with his life, a stratagem which in fact does ultimately lead to the silver lining in their seemingly doomed lives. What's striking about Silver Linings Playbook is how deliberately it ridicules the life of the mind in lieu of a life attendant upon athletic activity. The three teachers who assign books for students to read are adulterers and violent maniacs. Both Pat's and Tiffany's recoveries involve intense physical activity double-layered with football. At the film's climax, the father literally parlay bets his family's future, needing both the Eagles to win and Pat and Tiffany to earn a respectable score at a Dancing with the Stars fundraising event. Both football and dancing teams do their job, and all ends well. Indeed, ultimately, there is all sport and no book at all within this film's play with silver linings. For those of us for whom literary art is, along with the filmic, the sustenance of our lives, this is both inexplicable and inexcusable.